Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear
that
I will go over the...
Punch you!
So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there is Rex Hupke. Lots of things to discuss here in this episode. We were just kind of making our list here of the things we want to make sure to not overlook during the course of the show today. And, you know, as ever, there's a lot of things and it's always hard to figure out what to start with. There's healthcare. There's the Georgia election. There's young people succumbing to violence. There's Prince Philip. And there's, did you know, a wild horse problem in the United States.
I was not aware of that. Now that's really troubling.
As well it should be. There is a story on NBC all about the wild horse problem that we appear to have. The population is skyrocketing, and no one seems to be able to agree on how to fix it. These are pressing issues.
Wild gangs of horses roaming the streets of Chicago?
Mm-hmm. So next time someone's talking about, say, any group that people angrily refer to as those people, like taking jobs, coming here, doing that. Like anytime someone says that, it sounds like we have literally zero space for one other human being.
Right.
Like we have a wild horse problem, for Christ's sakes.
There's plenty of room.
Wild horses running free. You know, we got some room. Let's welcome some people into this land.
If there's any black horse, well, if any of these wild horses are black, the Fox News is going to have a heyday with us. So.
Of course. Oh, Lord. So all the things. You know, I'm particularly... I mean, there's so much. There's so much that we have to get into here. But the stories of the young people that have met violent ends this week have been really, really upsetting. I mean, it's tragic when anyone dies, but of course, when it's a young person and when it's, you know, due to violence. In particular, Nabra Hassanein, the 17-year-old Muslim girl. That story just keeps getting more horrifying. I mean, first that she was, you know, there was the baseball bat part. That alone is so terrifying. But then yesterday, this detail came about that she had been sexually assaulted, that, like, it just kept getting worse. And then today, there was, at DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C., there was a memorial set up. And a lot of people gathered last night, kind of in vigil. And it was set on fire today.
Yeah, which is so... Yeah, I read that just as on the way in, actually. And it's so sickening. And it, unless I've missed something, her death was not considered a hate crime.
It's not being investigated as
yeah.
one.
And it sounded actually like some sort of a outgrowth from some sort of road rage incident or whatever. Horrible, unspeakable. But, you know, you see something like that memorial burning and you see what's out there, too, just below the surface, you know?
Well, and just because it's being investigated, it's not being investigated as a hate crime, doesn't mean it was not. Because in order to do so, there has to be, you know, a case has to rise to that level with irrefutable evidence. And so it's very, you know, I think once someone announces something as being considered a hate crime, even if it seems like definitely it is, but I think right away, and it very well may have been road rage. I don't, like, that's not my spidey sense on it. The same feeling, was it North Carolina that was like those people, those young Muslim people were shot execution style. And it was kind of like, well, it was over parking.
Right. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, those are very complicated situations because
right.
we don't know.
And if, like, if that would have been a non-Muslim white 17-year-old, would it have had the same? I don't know.
And to kind of flip that around a little bit, though, if you look at the congressional baseball game shooting
right.
that was done by a guy who was a Bernie supporter, everybody was quick to declare that, you know, politically motivated, whereas I argue that was a crazy person. I mean, politics played a role in it in his mind, but that was also a crazy person who had easy access to guns and who did that. So, I mean, I do think that it's a little... I think it's very hard to assign specific motive to certain crimes. I mean, sometimes it's obvious.
Right.
You know, something is clearly a hate crime. If somebody screams, you know, like in
right.
in Britain, the
right.
the guy that ran into the Muslims after prayer services just recently, and was apparently, according to witnesses, shouting, "I want to kill more Muslims."
Right.
I mean, okay, there you go. That's pretty cut
irrefutable
and dry.
Irrefutable evidence.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you know, things get... I'm not saying that, you know, it's not, but I do think that the fact that the... that they're not investigating it as a hate crime indicates at least that on the surface there isn't any substantial evidence yet to show that that was in fact the motivation. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah, but again, you know, the when you see somebody then go and burn down the girl's memorial.
Right. Could we at least investigate the memorial burning
right,
as a
yeah.
freaking hate crime?
That's a hate crime.
Can
and
we
that,
at least do that?
And that's also indicative of kind of where we are. And that's what I think is really scary is that, I mean, everybody should be shocked and appalled that this girl was killed and they should be mourning the loss of this young woman.
Sure.
They aren't. And somebody to the point of burning, you know, her memorial down. And that is where you really get a strong indication, I think, of what lurks beneath the surface these
well,
days.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, like the quickly it was, you know, this guy, oh, he's undocumented. Like, look, we cannot keep making one speak for the group.
Yeah.
Like, let's apply this logic to something else. And let me tell you how, like, fucking ridiculous it is. People sometimes do this that are, like, against the idea of vegetarianism. They'll go, well, Hitler was a vegetarian. Okay, but that doesn't... I'm not a vegetarian, but that doesn't mean if someone is that they're going to commit a massive act of genocide.
Right.
And so we sometimes attach that, like, same thing with the baseball game last week. Same thing. Like, oh, that guy was a Bernie supporter. Who gives a shit? That
right.
doesn't mean all Bernie supporters are murderous people.
In the exact same way that it doesn't mean that because a Muslim commits an act of terrorism, it does not mean that all Muslims are terrorists. But our president... obviously, is
who
perfectly,
hasn't said shit about this.
Right, is perfectly fine with that association because
right.
every time a Muslim has committed an act of terrorism, he has spoken out before even the facts of the case were
sure.
laid out. And he hasn't said a damn word about the guy in Britain who mowed down a
yeah.
bunch of Muslim, you know, people, parishioners, not parishioners, I'm sorry, people who had just left a mosque
yeah.
after evening prayers. So,
well, and this story is going to be interesting, right? Because at some point, if he weighs in either way, he basically has to, like, pick an allegiance. Because
yeah.
he said so much shit about people who are undocumented and so much shit about Muslims.
Right.
Like, you're going to have to pick a side here, guy.
Yeah, he just won't say anything.
He won't say
yeah,
anything.
I mean, he'll just keep quiet about it. And he'll only speak the things that somehow fit his narrative. And that's why... And if that's the path we're following, then you can see how Islamophobic this country is becoming. Because it never goes the other way.
No,
it
no,
never
it does go, not.
It's never like, oh boy, we got to watch out for these white radicals, you know, or like it, you know, when a white person.
No, and that's the problem. Like, there's still so much, so many, particularly white males in seats of power in this country, and there's so much nonsense that, particularly disenfranchised, sort of like pissy young white men. Havoc that they're wreaking, and like somehow they're just not being held accountable. I believe it is all connected. Like, you can't. I feel like if your group is holding the seats of power, it's hard to push a narrative forward that says, hey, there's a group we're not talking about enough.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get so much shit. I've been in like peak troll mode all week, and that's mm-hmm. fine. Bring more. I don't care. But But look, there, it's hard to challenge something that is the dominant narrative, and it's hard to challenge something who or a group that's holding all the power. But the truth of the matter is we're seeing, you know, when we see a young white dude who is like a Protestant shooting shit, he is, you know, misunderstood and, you know, upset, and he's ostracized. He's awkward, and he has mental illness, and he had this broken home. Who gives a shit? At any point, we all have to be adults and be responsible for our actions. And I just like, we just will never have we'll never ever have a place where we're like in a headline saying like young white Christian shoots person in, you know, it just will never be that way.
Yeah.
It'll just be person shot.
Right.
Lone wolf. Like, fuck it.
Yeah. Or even with the story in Britain, they were saying van mows over Muslim.
No, the van didn't
yeah,
do
like
it. It's
van,
not
right.
It's not like Kit and Knight Rider,
yeah,
you guys.
Exactly. I thought that was bizarre. It was like
the
van closed. I was like, no. That wasn't the van that did it.
A human being made the decision to drive a van into other human beings and end
right.
their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. It's like some days people are so go humans go, and I just love the shit out of them. And some days I feel like the whole world is breaking. We're all breaking each other's hearts.
Yeah, it's yeah, we're in a real bad place right now, and we've talked about that before. And I struggle with how we get out of it. I'm not sure if I'm jumping to this topic too soon, but my reaction to the Georgia special election,
yeah,
was not, which first of all, I didn't really think that the Democrats were going to win that, and I think that the whole thing got kind of blown up a little bit too much on both sides, frankly. I mean, I think that the Democrats trying to, like, saying ahead of time, well, we've, you know, this is a district that usually is 20% up for the Republicans, and we're keeping it close. Like, whatever. I mean, but to me, I think we're at a defining moment. Okay, now Trump's been in office now for five some odd months. Some odd is being the operative words, and everything that people who opposed him feared has come true, and to a degree that I think even exceeds those initial fears and warnings. And we're seeing such insanity right now that anybody who is not concerned about that, anybody who's brushing that off, including with their votes, anybody voting for someone who stands with Trump and walks arm in arm in him at this point, I think is being selfish, period. I don't think that that's, in my mind, that is not up for debate. And that's not a defense of Hillary Clinton. It's not a defense of any Democrat, including Ossoff in Georgia or whatever. It's simply saying that right now we have a, you know, what is rapidly becoming an increasingly existential crisis with the person leading the country. And you have just a disturbing things upon other disturbing things piling up like crazy. And if you don't give a damn about that, you are selfish. And that's it. And I wouldn't be. And the thing I went on like a tweet storm about this. And the thing I tried to stress.
I missed a Twitter storm from you.
Oh yeah, which I think is very important. Is that I would not be saying this right now if we were talking about President Rubio or President Jeb Bush or any sane or even marginally sane conservative. I think then I would be disagreeing with a lot of what they were doing policy wise. But those are battles that you can fight. You can't fight crazy and corrupt, and that's what we're doing right now. And so I think that if the special election shows us anything, it just is another reminder of how shockingly selfish a lot of Americans are. And that's a problem, and I don't have an idea exactly at how to fix that right now.
I cannot find your Twitter storm. All I can find is you saying the word penis a lot, talking about Ken dolls.
Let's pause a moment. And
yeah, let's talk about what the hell you're talking about with the Ken dolls and why you got the word penis into the Tribune a million times.
Well, I just think that I am not recognized for my trailblazing efforts.
Oh, boy.
to get the word penis and the word vagina in past columns into the newspaper, into newspapers that have a tendency to be very prudish. And I
have you gotten the word vagina into a column?
Oh yeah,
before?
Yeah,
good
I
job.
Have. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think I've ever gotten any genitalia in a column.
I actually got this was back when
I've gotten photos of genitalia in response to columns.
I'll probably get some after today's. But yeah. Anyway, people in the future who are able to get the words penis and vagina into the Chicago Tribune with ease will know that they stand on the shoulders of a giant.
And so what was the... Explain, in case someone missed your column, exactly. So the Ken doll is getting a man bun.
Yeah.
That is
and
what
a bunch
set
of,
you off.
Yeah, they released 15 new Ken dolls. Man bun, skinny body, dad bod body, and cornrows. And I applaud all of the diversity, but I just highlight...
Okay, dad bod, skinny, and cornrows. I don't know if that's quite diversity.
Well, there wasn't all... Yeah, well, no, there was more. You know, there's like kind of... I don't know. Just all these different looks. It's like it's the same that they did with Barbie to try to make Barbie more reflective of the actual...
Oh, I got some shit to say about that.
...faces and kind of body types and all that sort of stuff. Although, you know, much to be said about that, I guess. But I just, you know, noted the fact that while giving Ken all of these things, including the man bun, which is, in my view, the single most offensive hairstyle that has ever been created since the mullet... he still doesn't have a penis, and I think that's got to be bothering him.
Well, Barbie doesn't have a vajay. She just has, joints and some flat plastic.
Yes, and I decided to let others fight that battle.
Okay. This,
as a guy...
You're not going to fight for Barbie's vagina?
Well, I will if I need to, but at the moment, Ken was in the news.
Okay.
And as a guy, I just said, okay, it's time somebody took a stand. And so I started the hashtag Give Ken a Penis...
I saw you do that.
...social media campaign and wrote the column and was able to use the word... I got the phrase, nary a penis.
Yeah, you did.
...in there, which made me really happy. So it's the little things in journalism that...
Yep.
You hang your hat on, so
I think
to speak.
Cornrow Ken is pretty good looking.
Yeah, there's some.
I'm looking at them.
Yeah, no, there's some dashing looking Kens, but you know they're all
that one guy with the sunglasses is a dork.
Yeah, they're all missing a little something though.
Now there was, what was that doll? Was it Billy? There was a doll that was like made as the anatomically correct Ken.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
And it caused us a shitstorm because
everybody flipped out.
Yeah. Which was kind of the point. I mean, kind of the point of the column, too, was like, heaven forbid we make anatomically correct dolls and raise our children so they don't have weird hangups, like,
right.
Like being scared of anatomically correct dolls.
Let's teach our children not to hate their own bodies or be ashamed of their genitals by not letting their dolls have them.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So.
Right. Well, there's that.
Sorry.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the case for that hugging. That's important.
I try to make a difference.
I was pissed about the diverse Barbie, the body diverse Barbies, because it's a step in the right direction, but it still made it about beauty over anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, good, you have a career in platform heels. You're going to be an ER surgeon. That seems legit.
Right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. And that's and it's funny, too, because honestly, you get... I made a joke in the column about Ken about the perfectly attainable body type,
sure.
Or whatever, you know. And but what's funny is that, I mean, that's so true with the Barbie doll, but you never do hear anybody complaining about Ken and unreasonable body standards because it's such a different. It's all treated so differently. You know what I mean? Like I think that yes, I mean, young men have unrealistic standards of physique or whatever. Also, but it just isn't the same. It's not even the same universe as what women have to deal with, and young women especially.
Yes, but I think generally Ken is given to young girls as an accessory to Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Not as... Kens are given to boys and Barbies are given to girls.
Right, yeah, that's true.
So we just walk around with unrealistic expectations of everyone's body.
Right, yeah.
Our own and dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't think anyone has any genitals.
Yes, exactly. And that.
There was a woman who...
Imagine the surprise.
Right. I say woman. I don't actually remember who the artist was, but there was somebody who made like a model of if Barbie, like based it on her eyeball size.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And if Barbie was a real human being, what her body would look like. And it was creepy.
Yeah. Grotesque.
Yeah. Like it was, she would have to lose 3 or 4 ribs from the bottom to make her waist that tiny.
Jeez.
She would be too thin to menstruate. She would, lots of things.
Yeah.
No. Also, wait, does Ken have nipples? Barbie doesn't have nipples.
I do not know, actually. I have to look into that.
Kevin is going to look that up. He like immediately raised his hand like, I'm on it. I'm on
Thank
it.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was awesome. Like, hand up. I got you. So while we're waiting for that very important detail of this breaking story about whether or not Ken has nipples and other important details.
Guthin Upke on doll anatomy.
Someone told me yesterday he didn't. No, Kevin says no nipples. All
no
right.
Nipples.
No nipples across the board.
Oh, geez, I should have added that. Damn it.
See, you missed an opportunity there, Huppy.
That's the follow-up column.
There's still room, yeah. Anyway, someone yesterday was saying he hated my coverage, and I was like, I'm not really covering so much as I'm hypothesizing and pontificating.
On the podcast or
radio
show?
The latest is the trolls think that I'm ruining your life professionally by associating with you. Didn't you know that?
No, but
haven't they said to you?
Nobody said that to me, no. I mean, I know you're ruining my life.
Right. You're clear on that.
Of course.
Well, it's a joy to ruin your life.
Yes, thank you.
It's pretty fun. Apparently, with my stupidity, and I should kill myself because I'm an embarrassment to everything I do.
Well, there you go. That's...
But projects can't be embarrassed. Only people. Duh. Huh. I can't embarrass the projects.
Nice.
In your face.
I tell whoever that is, come at me, bro.
Watch out, because that guy's got nothing to do but troll. So anyway. Let's also talk about two young men in the news. One of them is Jared Kushner's voice. That was so funny. Everybody was all of a sudden like, oh,
he can talk.
I can sing like that. Suddenly it was this whole thing. And I was really expecting like Professor Frink from The Simpsons. Like that's what people were making such a big deal. I was like, oh, baby, let's do this. And I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, but it's not that bad.
It was just as vanilla as the rest of him. I mean, it was like, yes. Okay, it's just a dumbass voice. But yeah, I was hoping for either like a Charlie Brown parent, like a wah, 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 wah. With no explanation or subtitles.
I guess I had not ever really thought about his voice, but after that I thought, well, I guess, you know, everybody's got such a boner for that guy in that administration, like maybe, you know, like an intellectual, emotional boner. I don't mean a real one.
Gotcha.
Not like a Ken doll one. Not like that. But I thought, oh, everybody's so after that guy. You know, he must have this like, let's go back to Simpsons. He must be like Troy McClure voice.
Right. Yeah. Steve Stunning.
Yeah. So many good Troy McClure lines. It would have been, my good looks paid for that pool and my talent filled it with water. The best one ever. Truly. Anyway, but yeah, no, he's not. He doesn't have that voice.
Just sounds like a normal douchebag.
Yeah, just a regular ass garden variety douchebag. That's what. Yeah. And then sub story to that was this really odd picture of Rubio and Ivanka.
That was so weird.
So weird about like.
First of all, she's 30 feet taller than he is.
Yeah. But the way that the way that like Twitter automatically crops a photo to be a certain size, most people tweeting that story, you couldn't see the arms. You could just see like. It looked like his face going to her neck, and I was like, whoa, what's happening here? Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, that's just her not trying to get hugged by that guy.
It was the weirdest hug attempt ever.
Yeah. I mean, someone described it like toy soldier arms, because her arms just went like straight down.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do if Rubio's trying to hug you?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I would...
The female body has a way of shutting that stuff down, I guess.
The body doesn't lie, as my yoga teacher would say. I mean, she could maybe put her arms straight out in front of her to be like, yo.
Heisman?
That's a guy that works at the Tribune.
Yeah, sorry. I was talking about a friend of mine.
Right. but so that was a weird one. But the other young person in the news I was thinking of is Mohammed bin Salam, who is the new son. So he's like this new Saudi prince, right? And he's like getting all the woo love. And everybody's really... It's fascinating. Like suddenly there's this quick narrative emerge. Like this is this golden boy that will change everything in ultra conservative Saudi culture. He's just a dude.
Yeah. Rich dude.
Very rich dude at like 31 years old.
Yeah.
And I think then there's like a little sub conversation about like, oh, he's really good looking. Like, well, fine. But like, let's just focus on. Perhaps no leaderly skills coming into an, you know. Let's talk about more nepotism and cronyism in the world. Anyway, there's that.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing how, like, you know, how good looking will distract from everything else.
Although I will say the funny takes of why am I like not having names in my head right now of Trudeau.
Oh, yeah, the Canadian Prime Minister. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Because he'll just be making, like, a lovely point, and people are, like, drawing hearts around him and tweeting him out. I'm like, can we focus, please? Because if we were doing this to women...
Yeah. He's a handsome man, though.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah. With the pandas, and it's like, come on, dude.
Well, I think where he got everybody was when he was like, I'm not ashamed at all to admit that I'm a feminist. And the entire United States was like,
yes, they were like,
hi, little boo.
Everyone within a 500-mile radius was spontaneously impregnated.
My baby looks Canadian. What happened?
This is my baby, poutine.
We're not high today, but we're just giggly and slap happy is what we're doing. Let's see. Let me check off things on my list. Ken doll, Hitler vegetarian, Otto, Nabra, Prince Philip, mentioned him, Georgia election, Jared's voice, the young Prince Mohammed bin Salam, which brings us now to Omarosa.
Oh, my God. That made me so mad.
Yeah. She's adopted a title.
You want to do it or you want me to?
Go for it.
The Honorable Omarosa whatever.
Manigault.
I don't even know what her last name is.
Because she was just Omarosa.
Yeah.
Like Sting, Madonna, Cher, you don't get to suddenly add a...
Honorable.
No.
And then she actually responded to somebody, I think it was the guy that runs Talking Points Memo, John, is it John Marshall? I forget his name, but he tweeted something about it. She responded with like a link showing like proper titles for White House people and appointees and that sort of thing. And was like, you know, stupid liberal, me, why don't you stop your fake news? Except that the thing she sent only applies to people who have been confirmed by the Senate, not by people just appointed and, for no
Wicked
goddamn
burn.
Reason because, they're a stupid reality show person who has no business being anywhere near any of this.
Oh, but that can get you elected president, didn't you know?
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But yes, the honorable. I mean, come on, this is these are the things that just make me think. What the hell are you doing, America? Like, what has happened right now? You know, this is... It's funny.
Whole thing is, I mean, like, we have, gone through a punch list so far and talked about a couple of very tragic things, but also, like, some ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And they are ridiculous because they're so absurd. But, in fact, they are... What is absurd about them also makes them pretty fucked up.
Yeah, right. You back away. It's funny, and then you back away from it, and you're like, oh, my God, what is happening?
Here's what's happening.
If somebody told you 3 or 4 years ago that Omarosa would be signing, White House correspondences with the honorable, you'd be like, what are you talking about? That's not even...
No, that's so bad.
That's so far-fetched, you can't even get it. And, so that's what... And just there's so much piling up so consistently that the pile just keeps falling down when you look at, the various forms of self-enrichment and all of these things that are happening. And there's too much for anybody to pay attention to, and we get distracted because Omarosa does this. And again, you take any one of these things and... have it happen under Obama, and the right would have gone batshit for months, endlessly. It would have caused so much trouble, and I can't figure out why this is so. Why we're sort of not stalled exactly, because things are moving forward in terms of investigations of Trump, and Trump
not
is
fast enough.
Trump is certainly not getting anything much done. That's at least, he's being held up immensely, mainly through his own incompetence. But, you don't, like, we see we know what his favorability numbers are, and they're horrible. And, and this is where I think things like the Georgia election actually cause problems, because that is not, they did win there. They should have won there. It's not representative of the country as a whole. That is not a ringing endorsement of Donald Trump under any circumstances, but it gets taken as such. And
right.
So there's some kind of sweep, and some people argue that it's too much media trying to balance things. I don't really agree with that, though. Because I think that the media has to some degree balance. I mean, that's sort of, objectivity is a key part of it all. So it's not like the media as a whole can slide one
way.
I'm
going to make like a swear jar.
Oh, I'm sorry. But no, but in this case, it actually...
I know what you mean.
And that's what people are...
I know what you're saying.
To be me talking. That's what people are saying. Like, people are trying to put it on...
In the role, one is supposed to seek balance on a story.
Yes. I apologize.
As well you should.
But it's like there's this sort of, momentum, and it can't be quite held back. But the momentum doesn't make sense because there aren't enough people to be able to propel that. You know what I mean? And that's where I'm confused. I may not be making any sense here, but it just, right now, the things are feel very out of balance, because we know that the number of people who are happy with what's going on right now is a smaller minority of people. And yet, it still feels like we're getting steamrolled. And I don't quite know.
Well, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about this morning, and because we were kind of kicking around the Megyn Kelly interview and some of the backlash around it.
The Alex Jones one, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that and how that was kind of how that conversation went. And I didn't watch it, not out of protest, but because honestly, I don't give a shit about either one of them.
Yeah.
Like, truly, I don't care. And we were talking about it in kind of moral and ethical terms of like, because so many people said she was wrong to do that. You're, in fact, inflating the platform of this, you know, hate-filled person. Other people were saying she has the right to interview whoever the hell she wants. It's a matter of what she holds him accountable for in the interview, that's the issue, and she didn't do that. And I think that is an interesting kind of conversation to have right now in this moment, because I think, you know, we've been saying, oh, journalism is more important than ever. Facts are more important than ever, but also one's interview skill is really important, because you can bring a homicidal maniac on your show. That's not endorsing him or her. Let's say it's him. It's probably going to be him.
Realistically.
That's not endorsing him, but you can become complicit by what you do or do not do once they're on your show or once they're in front of you getting interviewed or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And
totally.
That's my issue. And so then it becomes kind of this other piece of, well, when we think about journalism in the strive for balance, we've so long said there's no I in that and the reporter is just a vessel. But are we in an era in which there is some so morally questionable, you know, there's behavior that is so morally questionable. Is there, you know, onus on that reporter or interviewer to hold that person accountable, to draw that line of where that is? And if so, then it becomes about the individual again, and then objectivity is, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah,
it, then right. It becomes really screwy because my moral line may not be the same as, say, Megyn Kelly's, right?
Yeah.
And what I think is morally reprehensible may not be what she thinks is morally reprehensible. And so then it becomes very tricky. But I think playing it straight down the middle and saying, I will give anyone a platform, I don't know that that's the right call either.
Definitely not.
When you have crossed a moral line. Like, if it's just like, I think you're an asshole and I don't agree with your policies, that's totally different.
Sure.
Fine. I'm going to give you a policy and I will give your opponent I will give you a platform and I will give your opponent a platform. That's fine. And I will facilitate the two of you debating or whatever. But when it's like, and you have, I don't know, encouraged a hate crime or encouraged xenophobia or committed, you know, definitely committed some horrible act of hate or something like that, then I do think it's different. I do think that it's incumbent on me, the interviewer, then to hold you accountable for your actions. And that becomes, I realize, a slippery slope when you have, like, people say, some, like, Fox hosts that couldn't journalism their way out of a journalism bag. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Journalism bag. Nice. That was like me, man. Good job.
A bag of journalism.
My nonsensical ramblings are definitely rubbing off on you.
I'm a little slap happy today. I was on a roll there for a minute, and suddenly my brain went, nope.
Ooh, right into the journalism bag.
Nope. Get in the journalism bag. But you know what I'm saying? Like, suddenly I feel like that maybe there is a place where we can't just ask standard questions, where it has to be like, and yet you did this.
Yeah, and I think we're actually seeing a lot of good examples of that. I think Jake Tapper has been really good at that. I think Anderson Cooper tends to be quite good at that. And then, I admired Megyn Kelly during, like, when she was still with Fox, during the debates and stuff like that. I mean, I thought she really, really held, you know, like, a strong line and was very good at, you know, really asking probing questions and stuff like that. I don't know what's happening right now. I cannot condone, personally, the Alex Jones thing is reprehensible. I was shocked that NBC did that. I was, you know, that guy is as vile a human being as I can imagine.
But so you find her interviewing him to be a problem?
Yes. I do.
See, I think there's value in throwing someone to the court of opinion, court of public opinion, and expose it, like letting them show themselves for the complete piece of shit that they are.
I don't, because, and especially in his case, because he has his. She's not going to change anybody's mind. Nobody who sees that and is disgusted by him is going to. Or nobody who sees that.
I definitely questioned, like, what is the purpose?
Right. Yeah. I just, that, yeah. Thank you. That's it. And you know, he has his nutter followers, and all she's going to do is embolden them by giving him a higher profile. That her exposing him is not going to lose him any. If you're already following him, you're not going to see that interview and then be like, oh, wow, this guy's a nut, because he's a fucking nut. I mean, you can listen to 3 minutes of him and you get that. So I just saw that as purely sensational and as utterly pointless, especially given, you know, the immense harm he has caused to people from Sandy Hook and not just that, but I mean many other things. And so, yeah, I personally did not see any defensible explanation for doing that interview.
Well, let's back up and say, I think that you should have a news hook to bring a guest on.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have a why. Yeah. Why now? Why you?
And I think they tried to, because, you know, Donald Trump has retweeted him. I think they tried to hook it there.
Gonna...
No, I don't either. I don't think it's crap.
But generally speaking, I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world. If you have a valid reason, like a timely reason to have someone who's a piece of shit on your show. But I think then you, the interviewer, have to bring your goddamn A game and say, yes, but you did this. Yes, but you said this. Could you look at the parents of these kids and say that? Could you, you know,
yeah.
I think that, I think he's a complicated example to pick apart that action of having a controversial figure on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think he's very timely. I think he's a piece of shit.
Well, and he also stands, you know, I think there might be a difference too in that he stands to profit from that, like literally profit from that, as opposed to if it's, Timothy McVeigh.
Right.
He was a piece of shit, but,
right.
you know, he wasn't.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
so,
that's
you know
where.
I mean? Like,
yeah. That's a perfect way to put that. Yeah.
So not only again, she was not. Having him on there was not going to drive people to InfoWars, but it was going to enhance his base of people and make them
potentially.
I'm sure it did, because they hate them. I mean, you know, they hate the mainstream media. You know, it just worked perfectly and it played perfectly into his hands. And he had the secret video of the actual interview and blah blah blah. You know, it was just all.
But garbage. Like Timothy McVeigh. That becomes an interesting example of what I'm kind of driving at here. Like, I don't think that you are condoning. You would have been condoning the Oklahoma City bombing if you would have interviewed him on Death Row. I think that that's like trying to understand what the fuck is different, and trying to help people understand what the fuck is different than, like, so talk to me, McVeigh, what was that like? Like, that, I don't think it's that. I think then you got to not fuck around and have your interview really well prepared and walk in there and say, why did you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's what Barbara Walters did that.
I think it was her that
interviewed him. But yeah, so there's a value to that. There, but in the case of someone like Alex Jones, that's like, just let's get a snake oil salesman in here to, you know, I don't know. I really thought that was just kind
of
garbage.
he's a weird example, but it to me brought up bigger questions about, has our role changed or deepened or expanded, or is there a suddenly moral piece on, is the ethical part different now maybe than it was?
Well, I think the place that we as journalists have to draw the line in the sand, and where the line should be drawn anyway, is when it comes to truth and fiction, you know, fact and fiction.
Well, definitely, but I think that's always been the case.
Yeah, but even more so now, because, I mean, the way that it's being, I mean, you have, for example, CNN has, is it Jeffrey Lord, I believe, this guy who's a Trump supporter on, who just lies constantly.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't know why you have that guy on, period, but if you are going to have him on, you better be calling him out every damn second, because he's not balance. He's lying.
Well,
so,
you know,
and that's a fundamental difference, and I think that's where the seeking balance is getting screwed up right now, because the balance is coming from people who are fundamentally dishonest.
Yeah.
And provably dishonest.
I think, too, you know, I edit a lot of opinion pieces and write a lot of opinion pieces. And I think the importance of fact-checking opinion pieces, I think that's usually the first place to go if you're, like, understaffed or something, or if there's, like, a smaller outlet that's not, that's like, okay, anyone can contribute an op-ed and I'm not going to edit it because it's an opinion. Mm-hmm. But there are little places where major lies can sneak in.
Oh, yeah.
For example, if someone says, there's a big difference in saying, I believe XYZ happened in this election versus XYZ happened in this election.
Oh, yeah.
Just the simple act of saying, I believe, comma, says this is me standing behind my opinion, not this is the fact. And I saw that in a piece this week talking about it was that very old trope of very thinly veiled anti-Semitism centering around the word globalist. Mm-hmm. And it was that, but it said globalists are, and it kept saying are instead of I believe this or I have reason to believe or one could look at this and believe. Like, that little kind of shit matters, just in the way that, like, we've discussed on this show, saying XYZ, comma, police say versus, like, gunmen versus alleged gunmen. Like,
right.
Those kind of things matter more than we realize. That one simple word matters a great deal. And I think there's a big, big gap in opinion journalism, which is not to say there are not editors working very hard, doing excellent work, helping opinion pieces remain opinion pieces.
Yeah.
But I think there is a gap there that needs to be closed.
I totally agree with that. And it's so important. I mean, nothing, I have made mistakes, errors in columns that just, and it, I mean, for, it blows the whole damn thing up. I mean, forget it.
Oh, like, yeah.
Regardless of whether the error actually has any significant impact on what I'm saying, it just kills the column because you've screwed up. And so there's nothing, to me, there's nothing worse than that when that happens. But on the flip side, I mean, people can come at me and say, you know, you're fake news, you're blah, 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 you're whatever. And I can say, okay, please go through everything I've written.
Fact check me.
And tell me where I've made an error. And any place where there has been an error, it's been corrected.
Right.
And there aren't very damn many of them. So, you know, that's what you need, I think, if, you know, then, and that's what we should be relying more upon. Because you're right. That just is, I mean, opinion is one thing, and that's great. But if your facts are false or screwed up,
put your opinion around facts.
Yeah.
Don't stretch them.
Right.
Similarly, though, if you are disagreeing with an opinion piece, it is very important to be clear on the difference between something being inaccurate and disagreeing with it.
And that's where we're so
messed up. Screws you up a lot. Like, your readers get you all the time on that because people go, this is totally inaccurate. It's like, no, your facts are accurate. Perhaps you disagree with Hupke's take on them,
right?
But his facts are bulletproof.
Exactly. Right. And that's what, and it drives me nuts. And I don't do it so much anymore because it's gotten pointless, but people will contest something and I'll come back at them with, you know, links to documents, to other, you know, blah, 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 things that so-and-so said, yada, yada. Doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. They don't. It's like it doesn't exist. And so that's why, and that's where we're in such peril right now, I think, because of all of that. You know, the inability to accept that there are things that are factual and there's nothing you can do about that. And that opinion doesn't equal, you know, absolute fact and back and forth. It's just, it's horrible and it's screwing us all up.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about polarized dialogue. And how we just, we're on two different, you know, we're all on different ends of every conversation and we have very little. I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is this, like, we don't do that. And we're in a place where if you say one thing, like, you know, hey, I don't support Trump, but I got to hand it to him, this one thing he said today was good. Like, that's not a thing I'm saying, but like, if you do that, suddenly it's like you've betrayed you're a Trump supporter. Like, no, I'm just acknowledging one thing. He said, don't, you know, kick someone in the shin. I agree with that. Let's, like, even that, somehow that becomes problematic. And then we've talked a lot about confirmation bias and how that, like, that's why I get so bent out of shape about when people say the media, because people say the media all believes this about Trump. And I was like, no, you're talking about human beings that I would take a bullet for. I literally would. There are people in this profession I would not think twice about jumping in front of a moving vehicle for. And I know for a fact that many of us have said the opposite of that thing you're accusing all of us of saying, and don't screw with my people that way. That's why I get so pissed off about that.
Which, as I did just moments ago, refer to the meeting. But anyway.
And that's why I said I'm going to make a media jar. Here's the thing I'm going to sell. I'm going to sell a jar that's like the media jar, like a swear jar. When you say the media, I'm going to make you put a dollar in it. And then I'm going to sell this like on Etsy or something. I'm going to make an I'm sorry jar. For when people go, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. I was thinking about this on the bus the other day because a woman got on, sat down next to me. And she goes, oh, sorry. I'm like, why?
I do that all the time. I apologize down. A lot. It's a quirk, I think.
Do you?
Not a quirk.
I haven't even noticed.
I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Anyway, we're over.
I have to get back in my journalism bag now.
Well, I feel that we get in your journalism bag. I feel that we should give ourselves some titles like Omarosa's.
So, there you go.
I have a title. Did you know that I have an honorary Nobel title?
No, really?
The Micronation of Ladonia gave me... I like met the queen of Ladonia, and we had a lovely conversation about online culture and SEO and social media, and developed a friendship. And I, in the course of that, said unto her, you know, I was learning about this small micronation off the coast of Sweden, Ladonia, and she was telling me about it. And I was like, so what do you got to do to be like a, I don't know, baroness or something? And she presented, I'll tweet it out, it's a very beautiful gold like calligraphy thing, this beautiful scroll arrived in a very fancy package declaring me a baroness. So
damn, that's nice.
Lady Amy Guth, bitches.
Wow. Some Game of Thrones stuff right there, man.
I know. I'm waiting for when, like, I don't know, maybe I'll just walk around with like a sash.
Sure, why not? I would. I don't have
a coronet.
I just want to be Dairy King.
I know you do. All right. We got to roll. We'll see you next week. Everybody, try to be cool. Can, like, for a fucking week, we be cool? That's all I'm asking. All right, thanks. See you next time on Guth and Hupke on Politics.